This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Yes!
On ESPN 1000.
So we're talking football here with the Hester or Peanut Tillman poll question that came out of the blue. And it was spurred because Jimbo Covert got in.
That's right.
And so did Ed Sprinkle. And
long overdue.
The Bears now have 30 Hall of Famers. That's the most by any team in the National Football League. Waddle was teammates with Jimbo. We'll talk to him in a minute. 1 hour from now, we'll talk to Anthony Miller. I want to also have you guys think about how big of a stain is this on baseball? It's a big deal now because we're in it. Guys are getting fired. People are suspended. Penalties are being handed out. But in the big picture, a year from now, will this hurt baseball? Or is this just one of those stories that...
That's a good question.
Yeah. And I've got a comp for you on this, too. And it's actually the opposite. But it's something that you've taught me through the years. But let's go to Jimbo Covert, someone I'm sure who taught you some stuff. Into the Hall of Fame, he is now a Hall of Famer. If you grew up in Chicago and you remember the 85 team, while there was so much love to the defense, if you looked at that offense and the guys who paved the way for Walter Payton, for the guys who protected Jim McMahon, that offensive line was something, and it was anchored by the great Jimbo Covert. He was an all-decade player.
Yes, he was the only member of the 1980s all-decade team that had yet to be enshrined.
And he is now finally headed to Canton, Ohio. Jimbo Covert, congratulations.
Thanks, Sylvia. I appreciate it. How you doing there, Tommy?
Doing well. Doing well, Jimbo. I can express the emotions that you have kind of had to go through now over the last, not just today, but leading up to this.
When I talked to Dan Pompey, I mean, Dan did such a remarkable job representing me, and we've been talking on and off over the last, you know, couple of years, and you know, they did this vote in Canton a week ago, and so, you know, when it was over, they didn't tell you the results. So I talked to Dan afterwards, and he goes, I feel good about it, but, you know, when you get in a room, you don't know how everyone's going to react, and they're keeping this vote very confidential, so you know you're not going to know till next Wednesday. So it was like a whole week of being on pins and needles and kind of, you know, analyzing what you think's going to happen. And then, you know, this morning I'm out in San Francisco working, and so, you know, this morning I was up at, you know, like 3:30, and I was like, you know, thinking it's not going to happen, and you start doubting, and then, you know, the thing comes on and they're not ready to do it yet, and then Dave Baker called me. So
yeah,
you know, then all the emotions, you know, which, you know, you think you can handle something like that,
right?
Until it gets right at you. And then you start thinking about, you know, your parents and your teammates and guys you play with in high school and Pop Warner, and everything floods back. It's like right in front of you in 1 second, and it's very emotional.
You're a humble guy, but has there been part of you over the course of the last few years, and as I just mentioned, Jimbo, everybody else on the all-80s, the decade all-80s team is in, was there part of you that was pissed off that they weren't recognizing you for being the player that you were?
No, I don't think I was ever pissed off. I got disappointed, you know, I think because people just looked at things one particular way, you know, I mean... You know, I only played 8 years. Well, now I was on the team 9 years. I was on IR a year. But, you know, I started from day one in minicamp. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that play, you know, 12, 13 years, but they don't start until their third year. And, you know, what does that mean? I mean, if you looked at the game started, I was, you know, up there with a lot of the guys who were in the hall, maybe, you know, a season behind that as far as game started. So that was, I think, just disappointing, you know. But I don't regret anything I did in my career. I played hurt a lot of the time. I don't regret it. Now, you know, I came back in 88 after, you know, back surgery in 6 weeks and played, and that probably shortened my career. And maybe if I didn't do that, I would have been in the Hall of Fame earlier. But, you know, when something like this happens, you know, I never regretted it, but, you know, made all that stuff worth it. And it's just all the guys I played with and my teammates and everything is just... You know, it's just an emotional time.
Jimbo, what were some of the battles like with your own teammates? I mean, Mongo always tells this one story about how you, like, body slammed him, you put on your wrestling moves against him. what was that like? And maybe tell that story from your vantage point.
Well, Yeah, it wasn't much of a story or a fight, but it was, you know, a just kind of a little football thing. And it was, you know, a it was a we were Green Bay week, so everyone's kind of a little edgy anyway. And you know, I'm blocking Richard and Bortzi, you know, is blocking Steve, and he hits me from behind. I mean, he just didn't hit me from behind. He came in and, you know, barreled into me from behind. So I turned around and said, you know, what's your problem? And he said, your buddy pushed you into me. What the hell are you going to do about it anyway? You know? And, and so I did wrestle, and, you know, I felt pretty confident, and I did give him a good body slam, and you know, I got a couple good whacks in there. But then when he got up, he said, you know, and his chin strap was over his mouth, you know, so he couldn't talk. And he goes, you know, and he goes, you want this helmet so bad? You can have it. He took it off, and he was going to throw it at me, which was a big mistake.
Yeah,
and
wow.
That's when he got dropped. That was the end of the fight.
Wow. And, you know, we were talking too, Waddle and me, about, isn't Mongo a guy too that has been thoroughly underappreciated through the years?
Oh, absolutely, Sylvia. I always tell people this. I mean, I love Steve, and he was such a competitor. He made me, you know, Hamp and Steve and Richard. I mean, you know, the guys I played against in practice, I wasn't going to play against anybody better in a game. But with Steve, you know, I think there's a time, and, you know, Tommy came in, you know, when I was starting to wind my career down a little bit, but, you know, there was a time in that 84, 85, 86, 87, I don't think there's anybody in the league that played that inside position better than Steve McMichael.
Yeah.
Nobody. And, you know, the number of sacks that he had, you know, just the chaos that he created in there. You couldn't block him one-on-one. And what a competitor. So, you know, very, very underappreciated. And, you know, he deserves a lot more recognition than he gets. But, you know, those, you had Richard and you had Hamp, and a lot of guys on that defense got a lot of notoriety. And it's just, you know, it's difficult to get everybody.
Jimbo, I don't want to, you know, overlook how good a player Tom Thayer was, and Bortzi and Keith Van Horn. But is your hope also at some point Jay Hilgenberg will get the call, maybe down the road in a similar fashion? You know, 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All Pro. I look at him as a guy that also is someone that maybe didn't get the recognition he deserves after he was done playing.
Sure. Absolutely. Definitely deserves it. And you know, I just think it centers particularly difficult, you know, just to get that recognition, you know. And I think that Jay kind of fell in that group. And I mean, if you look at how many centers are in the NFL, I don't think there's very many, or in the Hall of Fame, I don't think there's very many of them. So he kind of fell in that trap, but definitely deserving. I mean, the things that Jay was able to do as a center and for our team, and single block people and pull and do all the things that, you know, centers really didn't do at the time, other than maybe Dwight Stevenson. He's pretty pretty special.
Hey, before we let you go, I know you're busy. Did you get a call from Dan Marino yet? We all know how much you think of him and he thinks of you.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the first ones to call me, Tommy. So he, you know, we're best friends and been friends for a long time. And he's such a, you know, a special guy to me, and we've known each other for so long. But he was one of the first guys to call and said, "Welcome to the club, brother."
Yeah,
welcome to the club. So that was a pretty special moment as well. So,
well,
awesome day, man. Awesome day.
Yeah. Well, as I said to you in a text earlier, there are a lot of happy and very proud Bears fans, and nobody classier or more deserving of this honor than you. So, congratulations and enjoy the ride, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, Jimbo. Congrats. There's Jimbo Covert, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing cool for me, like, you got to play with these guys. You were teammates. You were peers with all these guys. Like, a geeky guy like me who, you know, they always say, be careful when you meet your heroes. Like, I've gotten the privilege to work with guys who I grew up rooting for. Like, I always joke about rooting for you, but I did. I had your jersey. And that 85 team, I had the poster of the Black and Blues brothers and all those other guys. And you meet them, you never know what guys are going to be like. But Jimbo's one of the
best.
Like
you said, you got a chance to work with him. Yeah, he's
super smart.
Yeah, I mean, deserving from a player's perspective, just a gentleman, wonderful guy. Yeah, I'm so happy for him. And again, I think there are a lot. I think that the Jay is a guy that hopefully down the road, maybe it'll take a while, but Jay, I hope he gets the same honor. So a good day for the Chicago Bears as an organization, and certainly personally for Jimbo. You won't hear any bad comments about him on the field or off. So congratulations to Jimbo Cobra.
I mentioned earlier in the show, Michael Wilbon was recently too voted into the National Association of Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So he's going to join us at 5 o'clock. Two Hall of Famers today. Brandon in Indy, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's up?
You tell us. What's going on?
I feel Devin Hester needs to be in the Hall of Fame. He is a one-of-a-kind in his position. Has nothing to do with the offense. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm a Steelers fan, but all the way for Devin Hester.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll get in at some point. I mean, in terms of, you know, the web poll question, however you feel about that, people may disagree. And I'm sure there are some people that still feel like because he wasn't an every down player, then maybe he shouldn't get in. I don't feel that way. I've never felt that way. You know, I do have a tremendous amount of value for special teamers. And even though they may not have as huge an impact as other positions, like I think Adam Vinatieri deserves to go in. You know,
yeah, I mean, there are lots of contributors who are in, too. I mean, Steve Sable was awesome at what he did with, you know, the videos and everything like that. He got in today. Like, you don't like a lot of players of people who didn't even play the sport, but just meant a lot to the sport. You don't have to be a 10-year wide receiver.
No,
these are all important people in pro football. And Hester, special teams.
Yeah,
he's in my book.
I'm with you.
All right. So this is something. So I want to play you Tim Kirchen from earlier today. This got me thinking as I was working out. It was on Get Up today, and he talked about how baseball is in a bad spot right now. Take a listen.
Well, it was a really bad week for baseball, and baseball is in a really bad spot right now. A team that won 100 games 3 years in a row just fired their general manager and their manager, and the next day, the Red Sox fired their manager. Two of the best young managers in the game get fired on back-to-back days. And I'm wondering, was all of this worth it? Look, I know how important sign stealing can be when you do it properly. I know what a great advantage it is to know that a fastball is coming. I also know that Cal Ripken, Tony Gwynn, and a bunch of other hitters told me, I don't want any information from you. I'm going up there with a plan. I know what I'm doing. And what if you're wrong with your information? And yet we go to this extent to steal signs, and this is what happens when you have TV cameras and monitors all over the dugout. You got a bunch of young, smart, arrogant people who are trying to find a way to make their mark. Hey, here's a way to get an advantage. That's the trouble we're in right now, and baseball had better solve this moving forward.
So they better solve it. And the question that I wanted to ask you was, everyone's calling this a stain, and he said it was a really bad spot for baseball. But you've always taught me, too, that the opposite of these types of stories, when a sport is on a high, when you have a great hockey story in the Olympics, when the American team is playing the Canadians in one of the best finals ever, you always have said to me, Sylvie, it's great in the moment now, but really in 6 months from now, it will probably be forgotten. Will baseball get over this, or will this hurt the sport in the grand scheme of things?
It's interesting. This is an example of any publicity is good publicity. I don't believe that's the case with this. You can't ignore it. And I think maybe, I don't know if Timmy was going there or not, but almost like, did baseball need to do this? Like, could you have just swept it under the rug a little bit because baseball is in a valley right now and the popularity isn't what it is and the baseball didn't need this black eye at this time? You can't ignore it because of that. You can't, just because you're afraid that the popularity of the sport is waning, just to ignore it. You had to do what they did. With that said, I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on the overall game. I'm not a believer that you're ever going to get the young fan in large bunches to begin with. I just don't think. I keep trying. I'm not going to argue that you shouldn't try. At the end of the day, I don't think you're going to really ever appeal to that group in any time in the near future to me. By the same token, if you're a baseball fan, I don't think you're running from the sport because of this. You're pissed. You're not happy with these guys. You may have strong feelings that they should vacate their titles. If you're one of those guys, I'm not one. I don't think vacating titles is something that really has any, you know, it doesn't have any traction. But I'm not going to not watch baseball because of this. I watch baseball. I like baseball. I'm excited to see the Sox play. I'm excited to see if the Cubs can get back on track. I'm excited to see if the Reds are going to be as good as everyone projects. I'm going to watch baseball. This won't affect it. This to me is kind of like you know some stuff is happening. I mean, like, does it surprise you?
No.
I mean, it's wrong. And anytime you use technology to get an advantage, you deserve to be penalized. That's what I believe. If you're not using technology, I'm more lenient with how I respond to it. I just think they deserve the penalties that they got, but I'm still going to watch.
The story with Tom Brady and the PSIs, that didn't damper anything around the Patriots. Baseball is weirder, though, where baseball fans seem to hold this stuff in higher regard.
There's a lot of sanctimony attached to the sport for some reason. Reason why, I don't know. I mean, do you believe we're going to see a decrease in the viewership or anything more than what would be the natural trend anyway without this?
I think you sort of hit it when you were... Baseball gets popular in your city because your team is good.
It's a provincial sport.
That if your team isn't good, it's not popular. If your team is good, it's popular. And you usually don't seek out, unless you're this crazy fan, another game. Like, usually when we talk, when baseball gets into the national water cooler talk, it usually is for bad stuff,
yeah,
isn't it? It's either cheating, it's either pace of play, it's juiced balls. Do we ever talk about, oh my gosh, did you see this? And the whole sports world is talking about it.
Infrequently, and usually over the course of the last 5 years, it's been about Mike Trout. And why isn't Mike Trout being recognized for being one of the greatest of all time? But because he plays in Anaheim or for the Angels, however they're defined where they are now. But I don't think this is going to have a significant impact on the overall popularity of the sport.
So what do you think? 312-332-3776.
I don't think it's over either. I think that there will be more stories that
will
come out.
Do you think there will be another? I'm not talking about Beltran getting fired from the Mets. Do you think that there's going to be a day here this offseason when we wake up and they're going to say, oh, this team did this?
Yes, I don't.
Just that there will be other guys like Mike Fiers who came out and say,
I don't even think I need to tease that bet. I don't even, that one I'll bet straight up that it will
happen.
There
will be another bombshell in the baseball world.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, bombshell, not that it will surprise us, but bombshell that it is a comparable type of transgression. How can it be limited to just the Red Sox and the Astros?
It can't. What do we always say about baseball front office people? They're all the same now. They're all duplicates, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all the guys who think alike.
Well, but you talk about all the players who, if you read all the reports, I know Cora and Beltran were instrumental in, you know, making this work, but also this was like a player-driven thing, which makes you believe that, look, all the players who were on the Astros and Red Sox who started to, like, branch out and go to other teams, because inevitably that's what happens in free agency in baseball.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they said, hey, here's what we were doing in Houston. Let's implement something like this. Now, it may not have picked up as much steam as it had in Houston, but I guarantee players were saying, this is what they're doing in Houston. We need to figure out a way to do it here.
There's two other talking points. First of all, I would ask you, Jeff, as a diehard baseball fan, is this going to affect your viewership of the game?
No, not at all.
Not me either.
Because your White Sox are going to be good this year, and you're going to be excited.
The other thing is how do you feel about the fact that players who benefited from this greatly, none of them are included in any of the punishment?
Yeah, and they just wanted everyone to be forthright, so they gave them amnesty, right?
And I understand that, because the reality is the only way
you could get them to fess up is by saying
MLB doesn't have subpoena power. They're not the government here. They can't go and investigate things and get people to cooperate without promising something. So I understand why they did it this way.
But there are guys that you have to believe that whether they were free agents at the time or they had incentives in their contract that
just because they wanted to win.
Yeah,
I understand that players benefited from it.
Yeah.
Can you name the last national story in baseball that was good? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, in football, we're always talking about Patrick Mahomes, or we're talking about the Saints and Drew Brees and what he's doing, or we could do that.
It might be the 2016 Cubs.
Breaking
the curse.
Yeah, like, you love baseball because it's local. And then when it comes to nationally, usually if it's a national story these days, it's for bad reasons.
Well, and don't forget the netting along the
right?
sides of the park.
See?
I mean, the baseball being wound tight. I mean,
yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's
very rare that we just say, wow, this is awesome in baseball when it's a national story.
Yeah.
Ben's in Palos Hills. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just have a different take on it. I think it's actually a good thing for baseball. I mean, it's mid-January, and we're actually talking about a baseball story and not, like, just a trade or who's going where, some free agent getting more money. It's like we're actually talking about the game of baseball. Like, that never happens in the middle of January, ever. And as for, like, it being necessarily a black mark, I mean, how many times have the Patriots been accused of
right.
cheating, and it hasn't hurt football at all? People are still watching.
Yeah, Belichick, is known as the greatest of all time.
But football doesn't have a popularity
Correct.
Problem. Football is becoming more popular, not less popular. So they can weather the storm of anything like that. Baseball is going in the other direction. Now, again, I don't think it's going to affect the popularity, but I don't believe that this is something that is, that good publicity or any publicity is good publicity. I don't think that's the case for this.
Adam and Joliet, what's on your mind? You're on ESPN 1000.
Hello, guys. I listen to you guys every day. Love the show.
Thank you.
My thing about the whole baseball is if you were a bad team and you could cheat to win a title the way the Astros did, if you're a bad team for, like, say, 20, 50 years without a title, wouldn't you be happy to pay $5 million in fines to have that title? Like, I'm really serious that they should strip the titles from from the teams that were cheating like that. Like, the Dodgers should have two World Series right now.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean,
they never give the title to the other team, do they?
Not just that, but you can't tell me that
it didn't happen.
It's funny because I thought about this the other day, and I do think it would be more meaningful if a professional sport, professional league vacated a title as opposed to the NCAA. Because generally, when the NCAA vacates a title, it's because there's some financial impropriety, and a lot of people are annoyed with that anyway. This is legit cheating, though. And if MLB said, you know what, the Astros and Red Sox, your titles don't count, I think fan bases
would
be... But
aren't you going down this rabbit hole with Bonds and the Giants and other teams that have big cheaters win them World Series? They've always counted those numbers. Even though those guys are left out,
mm-hmm.
Don't all Bonds stats count?
Here's the deal.
In the record books, they do, yes.
In sports especially, there's always going to be cheating. Then when you can find it and you can identify it, you punish those people. But I'm not a believer that...
But they are being punished. If the punishment did result in saying, hey, these World Series titles are vacated, and in the 2017-2018 season, there are no champions. That's it. Said and done. I do think that would affect the franchises far more than just a $5 million penalty.
But, Jeff, they've already benefited.
But if you're a Red Sox fan and an Astros fan and someone told you, you know what, by the way, MLB doesn't recognize those titles and they have to take the banners down, I do think the fan bases would be a little more pissed off about the way this unfolded rather than just saying, oh, well, our team cheated, but at least we got the World Series title.
I think most fans would look at the Major League Baseball ruling and say, I don't recognize that.
Yeah, right. I remember
parade. You don't think, yeah. Look, Sylvie, if they vacated the 2016 Cubs.
I mean,
but here's what happened.
There's no flag out at Wrigley Field.
And then I, as a Sox fan, go to you, you know what? Haha, it doesn't matter because that World Series doesn't count. That would annoy you, wouldn't it? If other fan bases told you it doesn't count, it would definitely eat at you.
We could talk more about this later in the show. 312-332-3776. I do know that there's a true sports story out there that is a brand new documentary, and I believe Waddle will hit on that coming up in Waddle's World. It's next.
It's that time again.
when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's world.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
That's right, John. Waddle's world brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. There's Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Did you see they have announced that Zion Williamson is going to debut January 22nd against the Spurs?
I'm excited. Vincent Goodwill had an article or a tweet having to do with the lack of stars in the nationally televised games. Remember, we asked Barkley yesterday about why our ratings down.
Right.
And he was talking about how players move around and the offense, maybe all the three-point shooting. But the one thing Vincent mentioned having to do with Zion now and another stars is all the stars on these teams have missed so many games because of injury. Steph's been out. Zion's been out. Those are big draws that would draw a nationally televised audience. Then maybe that will change here coming up.
Yes. I'm excited to see him play. I really am. Are you surprised he's coming back? I heard other people suggest just keep him out.
Why? I mean, you got to start playing.
No, I'm with you.
You've always told me if you're healthy.
You're healthy, play.
No, I'm good with that. You want to be careful with him in his first full year now after the surgery and the problem he had last year. So put him on a minutes restriction, but I think he should play.
No, I'm with you. I thought one of the top stories today was the announcement from Luke Kuechly at the age of 28 that he is done with the National Football League.
We have.
I believe he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot, even though it's only 8 years and it took Jimbo Covert that long, and he only played 8 years.
Yeah, I do believe that he will. I believe that'd be my bet that he will.
Do you want to hear the? Sure. This is the best part. He recorded
a 3.5 minute thing,
and it was in the linebackers' room at the Carolina Panthers headquarters. This is the best part from it.
You know, there's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong and. At this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore, and that's the part that is the most difficult. Is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So I thought about it for a long time, and I think now is an opportunity for me to step away with what's going on here. I think we've got a really good linebacker room. I think Shaq and those guys are going to step and do a tremendous job.
He went on to say as well that this had nothing to do with the change in the coaching staff and the ownership and all that. I had heard that this is something that was being contemplated for a while. Smart guy, obviously. He's a Boston College grad. He grew up in Cincinnati playing in the same conference.
Yeah.
That. So,
you
know,
he is... Do you think he knows who you are?
No, I wouldn't.
No?
No. No, I don't know. That's inconsequential and insignificant. But I do believe he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I do.
Dude, it broke my heart when you hear a guy say, and you've talked about this before, that you can't be halfway but he said he wants to play, but he doesn't think it's the right decision.
Well, I think, again, that some of the conversation in the past has been about putting himself at risk for future head trauma. I mean, that position is so violent, and he's had concussions. He's missed games because of concussions. And I think you're going to see more and more of this where top players decide to retire sooner than they used to because there is a greater financial reward that is available to these guys throughout the early parts of their career. I mean, think about it. He probably made, I'm being conservative, $75 million? Does that probably sound right? He was a former first-round pick. He signed his second deal.
Looks like he signed a five-year, $62 million extension at one point, so at least that much.
So, I mean, you're right. Where guys in the past who had head injuries would say, well, I need this because I need to make money.
Right.
These guys are getting so much more money, guys can step away. Like,
and if you take care of, care of your chicken, then you're going to be fine going forward.
Andrew Luck.
I don't believe that this is going to be a troubling trend for the NFL as well, because as we have found, like when the Mike Singletaries and the others, you know, that were roaming the middle of the field years ago, when they leave, guys like Brian Urlacher and Luke Kuechly, there will be other Brian Urlachers and Luke Kuechlys that come in and play. So I don't expect this to be a problem. Odell Beckham Jr. was actually handing out real cash to the LSU players.
What do you think of this? They were poo-pooing this on GetUp that it's not a big deal, but aren't you not allowed to pay college player? Couldn't he be viewed as a booster?
Well, did you see where it came out? It was on the part in my take.
Yeah.
With Joe Burrow.
And he said, I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say yeah when he talked about whether or not I was okay.
I'm all for it. Look into this. Suspend every one of them for a year. Ban them from postseason play. Get LSU out of here. Roll Tide.
Like, you could say to recruits, I mean, I'm not saying that this is anything that Odell did. I think Odell just wanted the spotlight. But you, if you're a pro player and you want guys to go to your college, you could say, look, if you win a national championship,
I'm
gonna
pass out Benjamins.
I'm going to be giving you $5,000, $10,000. Go to my school. You win a championship. Yeah, I'm handing out money. Yeah, I mean,
you can't.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Currently, I don't believe that's legal, but
that's my point.
Yeah. I don't know what has the NCAA said they're going to do anything about this? On Tuesday, LSU told the Louisiana newspaper that the university is looking into the matter. School officials could not be immediately reached for comment.
They said, I guess Odell said it wasn't real money, or someone there said it wasn't real.
It was real money.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it was real money.
For handing out watches.
Mets are currently assessing Carlos Beltran's status as their manager.
Doesn't that mean that they're preparing to fire him?
I think he's probably. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't gone.
A day ago, they were supporting him and saying they weren't going to fire him. And now they're already throwing out the floaters that they're assessing it.
The football news, obviously, which included Jimbo Cover, who joined us a little bit ago. Paul Tagliabue, Steve Sable. Others among 13 picked for Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Former commissioner and Sable, the pioneer of NFL films, highlight that list. It includes former Steelers coach Bill Cowher and Dolphins coach Jimmy Johnson. We saw that this weekend. The other 11 announced were Donnie Shell, safety from the Steelers, Cliff Harris. Cliff Harris was a safety for the Cowboys, right? Harold Carmichael, great receiver for the Eagles. Jimbo Covert, our buddy Bobby Dillon. I don't know much about Bobby.
I think.
Winston Hill. Alex Karras.
Mr. Papadopoulos.
Okay, Duke Slater.
Yeah.
Max Speedel. Ed Sprinkle, another former Bear, and George Young, who was the front office guy for the Giants for so many years as well.
Yeah, Mr. Papadopoulos was also Mongo in Blazing Saddles.
There you go. Drew Pearson.
Disappointed
in his Hall of Fame snub.
Yeah, he had a camera crew with him, didn't he? Yeah, that sucks.
Did you see the news? Larry Fitzgerald is returning to the Cardinals for another year.
See, like, that's your point. That even though there are guys like Kuechly and Luck and Gronk, there are still guys like Frank Gore and Larry Fitzgerald who want to play in the quarterback position, look all around.
Yeah, I think that when you look at, I know that Larry Fitzgerald loves the game, and he's one of the top 100 players deservedly. So he must also have a pretty good feeling about the direction the Cardinals are going and doesn't want to miss out on.
He's got a good quarterback now.
Bobby Petrino's back, and he's going to coach Missouri State.
That's in my conference. Southern's in the Missouri Valley Conference. Bobby Petrino once coached the Atlanta Falcons. He is now coaching Missouri State.
He last coached at Louisville in 2018 and was fired after a 2-8 season. So
get that motorcycle down to Springfield, Missouri.
That's a cheap shot.
What?
It's Chicago. Did you see this story that Walmart mishandled a good chunk of the Khalil Mack donation to the Florida store?
No. You did not see it? What happened?
Our Chicago Bears pass rusher Khalil Mack does what he can for Fort Pierce, Florida, the coastal town where he and his brothers were born and raised. Last summer, he paid for new cleats for players at Fort Pierce Westwood High School, where he was an all-area football player. And then this was the story that was in the press. Last month, he played Secret Santa for dozens of families, donating $80,000 through his foundation to pay off all of the layaway accounts at the Walmart in the area where he grew up.
But and how did Walmart botch it?
Max Generosity may have been taken advantage of. Quote, we have determined the store did not handle the transaction in keeping with Walmart's guidelines and have taken corrective action.
So wow. They only needed 60 grand is the story. They only needed 60 grand
to cover 300 accounts.
Yeah, so instead of like giving it back or giving it to a charity, they don't know what happened to the money to the extra 20.
What does seem clear is that the layaways at the Fort Pierce Walmart at the time of Max's donation totaled 60 grand to cover about 300 accounts. But the check that he cut for them was 80 grand, leaving a significant surplus.
Shame on them.
Yeah. So, but you know what? Again, another tip of the cap to Khalil Mack for his willingness to help those out in his community. Shame on the Walmart people who did what they
right.
did. A half gallon of Colt 45 and a sandwich makes pretty good snack. Vero Beach, Florida is where we go for this.
Okay, this is not a Florida versus Florida. Ohio.
A four-pack of Colt 45 and a chicken bacon ranch sandwich sounds like a pretty good midnight snack, don't you think?
Yeah.
32-year-old Vero Beach man may have come to the same conclusion. Problem is, Vero Beach police say he didn't pay for the suds and sandwich before walking out of a 7-Eleven.
He just forgot.
Yeah.
He forgot.
Don't do that.
He slipped his mind.
Oh, this is a better story. Pantless man tries to break into a couple's home through the doggy door. The doggy door is something that I don't understand. I know that when you want to let your dog out, it's easier for the dog, especially if the parents are away and the kids are at school. The dog can let itself in and out. But doesn't the doggy door also provide an opportunity for a pantless man to break into your home?
I would think so. Isn't this from Home Alone? Didn't Home Alone?
Is that what it was?
Did he go through a doggy door and then he get branded?
Wasn't that also in Ferris Bueller? Was there a doggy door involved with that? No,
I don't know. No. I'm trying to think of the one.
Anytime there are movie shenanigans involved,
it's a doggy door.
Yeah, it's classic shenanigans.
Fairfield, California, police say a pantless man. I don't even know if it's a man. A pantless intruder entered a couple's backyard last Wednesday and tried to get inside the home through the doggy door. The family had lived in the Sycamore Drive neighborhood for 20 years. They said they felt safe where they were until a prowler hopped over the fence and into their backyard. So he dropped his drawers and tried to get inside through the doggy door.
I don't like I don't understand the doggy doors either. Doesn't cold get in too?
Well, it's California, but yeah. I'm sure that there's still places in California where it gets cold. And I don't understand that we do not have a doggy door. We don't. Kansas man asked a judge to let him engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife.
Was that possible?
We'll settle this like adults, Your Honor.
Kansas man has requested that an Iowa judge grant him a trial by combat so he can engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife and her attorney, according to reports.
So a real sword fight.
David Ostrom, 40, of a town in Kansas, said his ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, of Harlan, Iowa, and her attorney, Matthew Hudson, have destroyed him legally, according to a January 3rd court filing. He asked the Iowa District Court to give him 12 weeks to find katana and wakashazi swords. Is that what it is? Katana?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what's the other word?
I don't know. It's a blade. Swords
for his requested battle. To this day, trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States, he argued. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to have the court order them to have a sword fight.
I've just been texted a breaking news off a news story from you.
Yeah.
A birdie whispered in my ear that Sarah Spain may have a doggy door. And they say it's life-changing.
I have no idea where to go with that.
No, a doggy door for their dog.
Right, I know.
Fletch.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Because but why is that life changing?
Are you proposing that we break into Sarah's house?
Are you talking about getting pantless and breaking into Sarah's house?
No, Brad reached out and he said it's a life changing thing.
Okay,
Sarah,
so
who's currently
actually,
on highly questionable,
right?
Sarah's on my television
she has a
right
doggy
now.
Door.
Yes.
Okay, it's because she's working and Brad may be at work somewhere else, so the dog lets itself out.
Yes.
You just got really weird there for a second.
Well, I was talking about the news.
Okay. Mm. Hey, you know what? When we come back, I've got a story about sleeping naked and what that means.
Cap just texted me. He's got a doggy door.
And he sleeps naked.
That's the least surprising thing.
And he sleeps naked. I mean, this is Cap's Waddle's world.
There you go. All right, so that's...
Florida or Ohio.
Florida or Ohio. Okay. It's coming up next.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals.
dumb criminals, random stabbings, or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
And Florida Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. Find the snack and the SUV and the car and the all the, like, that good stuff at fieldsauto.com. Test drive it. Don't just go in and take snacks, though. That's weird.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's a weird thing to do. Get a test drive.
Yeah. Man facing DUI arrest offers police free MMA classes if they let him go.
Oh, that's Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio. MMA's big in Dayton.
So he gets pulled over, DUI, and he says, hey, if you let me go, I could give you MMA classes.
A man who claims to be a professional mixed martial arts fighter was arrested for DUI.
Who wants a free Muay Thai class?
Police free classes for a month if they let him go.
It's definitely Dayton.
They said the man was attempting to back into a parking spot and almost backed into a building. Upon making contact with the man, police observed him stumbling and bubbling, and he smelled of alcohol. I added the bumbling,
of course.
And
he was talking about how the Reds are going to win the Central this
year. He also had red bloodshot eyes, and they were also glossy. He refused to complete a field sobriety exercise and instead offered police a month of free martial arts classes.
Don't they have, like, UFC gyms? That are owned by
UFC? There's one over by the... The highway on Orleans.
There's a couple of them. There's one on
UFC
Broadway.
Gym.
During his trip to jail, police said that the man had mood swings and was shockingly combative.
Well, I mean, listen, if he's offering you UFC lessons, he's probably, you know, combat's his thing. I'm saying Dayton, Ohio.
All right. I think this is a very muscle bound guy in a tank top in Florida. He's got the shorts, he's got the tank top, he's really, really big and drunk. So he's somewhere in Florida.
Based purely on the visual that Sylvie just painted, I'm going to sidle up with him and say Florida as well.
A man was arrested after offering police free MMA classes after he got a DUI in Brevard County, Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, there was not enough chaos with it. I mean, hey, listen, I know I'm a little hammered and I should have been driving. I'm sorry and I'll take the punishment. I can show you the figure four leg lock if you want, if you let me out.
It's a wrestling move, though.
Well, you know what? Wrestling's a big part of it. You're right.
What do you got? What do you got? Guns or a taser? I'll show you how to take a man down one punch.
Yeah.
One punch.
You know what? What would happen, though, if you had to call that in? If you're like, if you're the local deputy that pulled him over and, like, you got to call the shop, so to speak.
We got a man who's trying to back into a vehicle right now. He's a little drunk. He's trying to back into a building. Hold on, I'm approach the man.
Some time goes by, obviously.
We're going to let this one go. I just got a free month of MMA classes for the entire station, so head down to the UFC gym on the...
We're going to let this one go.
That's good.
That's good. All right, I got a few more stories before
you. That's your best talent. It's not even close. You bring nothing to the show more than you bring your CB.
His CB's good, but his Casey Kasem is excellent, too. Don't underestimate that.
Casey Kasem?
He's
a throwback. That's a fantasy football frenzy.
We had a Kasem segment where he would do his Casey Kasem.
We used to do, long-distance dedication.
I want to hear one. Like, let's pretend that I want a Brian. Brian Adams.
You want a Brian Adams song?
Summer of 69.
Everything I do, I do for you. Yeah. Okay.
This one comes in from Little Mark Silverman. Mark Silverman writes us from Skokie, Illinois. Dear Casey. Sorry, I messed up.
That's the easiest part.
Dear Casey, I've got a thing for this girl, and I hope she notices me. But I don't have the courage to go up and talk to her. I've been trying her to get on my CB, but she doesn't respond to Littlefoot for some reason. I'd like to request Everything I Do For You by Brian Adams. Well, Mark, this one's for you and that special someone.
It's good.
More importantly, give us Casey on a CB. That's what we really want.
Oh, man. Now we're crossing streams here. I don't know if we can do that. Because the CB is more of like a southern. Like, if you notice the CB,
no excuses,
it's more of like a southern thing.
this one's coming.
Practice that one, all right? I need to tell you what sleeping naked may reveal about you, okay? If you call yourself a night owl, you may prefer to sleep naked, according to new research. A new study of 2,000 Americans examined their sleeping habits and personalities in relation to whether they prefer to sleep in the buff or wear pajamas. 1,000 respondents in each preference. Survey says nude sleepers were more likely to call themselves night owls, 38%, where pajama wearers identified as a mixture between an early bird and a night owl. As it turns out, self-confidence may not be that closely related to your choice of sleep attire. Sleep nudists identify as introverts 45% of the time. Pajama wearers calling themselves ambiverts 47%. I don't know what that is. So I don't, I wear a t-shirt and usually that's it. But well, and underwear.
Few people have tweeted us about the Khalil Mack story saying that he intended the extra $20,000
to
go to the employees.
Okay,
and,
good.
And according to Peter, it was a whistleblower, an employee who did not get to put in for his layaway. So he like ratted on everybody or something like that. And then it became controversial.
None of this was a blowback on Khalil. I mean, he did the right thing.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a story about that Fox put out about Walmart.
And by the way, Spotify's launching playlists for dogs that are left at home. Speaking of the doggy doors. Yeah, Spotify's made playlists and podcasts for dogs to listen to in their owner's absence after finding that nearly 74% of UK pet owners play music for their animals. I leave a TV on for my dog.
Yeah, my dog, my Cosmo, may he rest in peace, used to react to the TV all the time with different animals.
Yeah, I leave CNBC on, so when I come home, I want to know what the NASDAQ did.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Lola's smart.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony.
Well, she does poop money, so.
Anthony Miller joined us next. He had some interesting things to say about, you know, he wasn't that patient as far as a wide receiver and gave us some really good stuff on why he got better. Also, more ideas on this baseball controversy. It's all coming up next.